Viva Las Vegas.
What about you going to Vegas in February?
Mate, it felt strange. It was different.
It's very
it was
weird.
Actually, you know what? It was good. Not it, like every CES is a work trip, right? And it's a hard work trip. People think, oh, you go to Vegas. How good's that? It's bloody hard work. But going to Vegas just to watch footy was awesome. And I was able to, like, I still updated Tech Guide and did my work like I normally would, but I didn't have to go to a meeting or the show for the day and didn't have to do it. I'm thinking, what am I going to do today? I'm going to go shopping. I'm going to go meet up with my South buddies or go to somewhere else, like the NRL Fan Fest or something like that.
It was great. You are such a nerdy fan.
I love it.
He's there with his phone out, fist pumping players.
Bloody oath, mate. And actually, Cameron Murray, who I know, I played footy with his old man, Cam Murray. I saw him. He was one of my stories. I sort of, said, Cam, and he said, "G'day, how are you?" He was on my flight home. He was two rows behind me on United coming home. Yeah. So that was pretty cool. But I think the whole experience was, even though South lost, it was still a really positive experience. And the way that, like, obviously a lot of Australians went to Vegas. It was like, I think 15,000 people travelled from Australia.
It seemed like FanFest, for example, was
It was all Aussies, There weren't – look, at the game, people said to me, were there many Americans there? No, there weren't.
Right.
Because I reckon everyone I spoke to that was sitting around me that I saw just moving around were all Australians. The only American accents I heard were the people in the aisles directing to your seat or selling your food or drink. They're the only American accents I heard. There were no
fans.
Plus, you
know, people that came
me.
From Australia and expats.
Yeah, well, I had a funny conversation.
LA and all that kind of thing,
well,
right?
At the Fan Fest was in Fremont Street, right? So old Vegas, so right near the Golden Nugget. And in the Golden Nugget, South's organised a little get-together from all the South's old boys. So there was me and a few other guys. Yeah, they put the credit card on the bar. We had a bit of a drink and a chat. And as I was in the Golden Nugget, I was coming back from the bathroom and there was a guy in a Sea Eagles shirt because South played Manly, right? This was 2 days before the game. And this guy said to me, saw me, I had my South hat on, he had a Sea Eagles shirt on, in an American accent said, "Oh, you guys are going to have a tough game this week." And I went, "What? You support Manly?" And he goes, "Yeah, I guess I was born in Australia but grew up in America." I went, "Okay, that explains that." And he was there and his daughter was with him and we had a good chat about, you know, it's cool that he still follows the Manly and everything but while he lives in America, which was cool. But in terms of just getting Americans to watch the game or come to the game, I don't think many did. Mm. But watch the game on Fox Sports, I think they did. Problem was, though, there was a college basketball game that was scheduled before 6:30. 6:30 was kickoff for the first game. There was a college basketball game that went into overtime. So they couldn't stop that. So while South and Manly kicked off, they continued to show that to the end. And by the time they got to the game, they were 17 minutes into the game. Right. So there was already, I think it had already been a try scored. And that was the only little over the other game went over that cost them watching the entire game.
Yeah.
But then this other game continued right after. Like the break between games was 10 minutes. Boom. The other teams ran on. They kept it moving. So I don't know how it rated in America. I haven't read anything about that. I know it rated really well here in Australia. Because, you know, people are watching NRL in Vegas. I've got to watch this. And I think the Foxtel was saying that the best ratings they've ever had. And Channel 9 are saying it rated really well as well. Because Foxtel had both games. Channel 9 only had the second game.
Yeah.
Because Foxtel had the rights to the first game, which was the South's game. And let's face it, the most important game. It was that one. I heard people were subscribing to KO to watch it. That's how much they wanted to see it.
So what was the crowd like? Because I saw a lot of photos that seemed...
Yeah, like empty seats, as I say.
Yeah, just not like the top tier on one side was pretty empty.
Yeah, it was pretty bare. The very top level was empty because it's a 65,000 capacity stadium and there was only 40,000.
There was 40 there.
There was 40,726 people. I took a photo of the
attendance. Pretty
good. It was amazing. It was a really good turnout. And the bottom level, I was in level one in section 114, so I was on like the 30-meter line, good seat. And I was in an area where there was like a bar and everything behind me. I could go in. Like the members, I was sort of in there, could go to the bar, buy some food. And that was a decent seat. But it's the sort of stadium where you even if you're up high, like I remember going to see, remember I was with Signet, they took me to the Kansas City Chiefs and Raiders game. We were up in the 400 section and it was amazing. Still really good view.
Mm.
You're close. It was, when you're in there, Allegiant, you're thinking, it's not that big. But when you're in the Allianz or Accor, it's a massive stadium, right? Because the bowl is actually not quite steep. It's not very steep. But the Allegiant, from the outside, you're thinking, is that it? It's small.
Yeah.
But when you get in there, I think it's slightly lower than street level, but the bowl is really steep and you're right on top of the game.
Yeah.
So more space, more seats in a smaller space.
You know they're taking the Oakland A's to Vegas.
Are they?
The baseball team.
Are they really?
Yeah, that's the plan.
Where are they going to play that game?
Well, I was just going to show you. So, New York, New York.
Yeah.
MGM across the road, Excalibur across the other road, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
And then on the other corner, so the opposite diagonally to New York, New York is Tropicana or something?
Tropicana, yeah.
That's being
Hooters. Hooters.
That's being knocked down, right?
What?
Oh, yeah.
And so they're going to build another stadium there.
Mate, have a look at that.
No way. That's going to be across the road from MGM Grand.
That's the plan, yeah.
Holy hell.
Look at it. So it's this. It looks like a bloody opera house in some ways.
Wow.
And then it on the inside, look at that screen. Mate, look at that screen on the roof. Look at the screen on the roof.
Wow, will you show me that other picture? Mate, that's a dead set ripoff of the opera house. There's got to have a copyright problem.
But yeah, so this, and I think the key here is if you just look this up, folks, Oakland A's or Athletics proposed baseball stadium, Las Vegas.
So they're going to relocate.
From these seats, you can see New York, New York, and the MGM. Look at that
the
window.
That's amazing.
Like, what an awesome view.
That is brilliant. So what, the Oakland A's going to relocate like the Raiders?
Yeah.
Really?
So they're going to have a
that's
hockey
amazing.
Team.
Amazing.
The NFL ice hockey team.
Knights are great.
Yeah, Knights. The NFL, the Raiders, the NFL team. They're going to base an MLB team. I think their big thing is now just they need an NBA team.
Yeah. Wow. And they could use T-Mobile for that too, couldn't they?
Probably,
they could use it because they can use it for ice hockey and for basketball. Don't they play basketball there already or not?
I don't know. Yeah. No idea. Wild, eh?
That's amazing.
Yeah.
But we're talking, what, 5-6 years away or what's that?
Look, I don't know.
They built them quick there. I know Allegiant took a couple of years. It was quick.
The thing about it is that the roof structure might be quite simple. It might not be, hard. And, I don't know. Depends.
Yeah.
But I think it's probably 3 years away that they move there and they've got to move to other places in the interim.
Yeah. That's a good spot for it too. It's right on the strip. That is amazing.
Yeah, because a lot of people say, why don't you put it up at, you know, that big, empty, old packer block up at Resorts World?
Yes. Up the other end of the strip.
Opposite the Wynn? Like, why wouldn't you put it there?
Yeah, okay.
But,
yeah.
You know... I think the clientele.
So what's up? No, opposite Wynn is the Fashion Show Mall. Opposite Encore.
The other part, Wynn and Encore, it's the same thing.
Yeah, yeah.
Is a big empty. The old James Packer lot.
Right.
The one that he lost money and sold out on.
That's up near Circus off that
end. It's before Resorts World.
Yes, that's where the teams stayed.
Yeah,
South stayed there, and all the other teams. Wow.
Pretty awesome.
I reckon that where it is opposite MGM Grand, that's awesome because the monorail's just opposite across the road. It's easy to get there. That's smart.
Yeah. I also think that your baseball crowd is probably more of an Excalibur New York, New York crowd, you know?
Exactly.
Rather than a Wynn crowd.
Like, imagine watching the New York Yankees play and seeing New York, New York in the background.
Wouldn't that be wild?
That's historic.
Yeah.
That'd be great.
Yeah.
So the baseball season, though, is April to what? April to October, isn't it?
Yeah, and so it's going to be hot. And so a lot of people are on that going, A, it's the Opera House, and B, is it enclosed with air conditioning? Because otherwise, have you been to Vegas in June or July? It's horrible.
Yeah.
So hopefully it's going to be enclosed and air conditioned.
Oh, yeah, right, of course.
It's horrible otherwise.
So that opening is a window. So it's glass.
I don't know if it's glass or what, but it needs to be glass.
That's amazing.
Yeah, yeah.
Wow.
It's pretty cool.
So the Oakland A's, that's Oakland. And so remember it used to be
because remember, it's the Oakland Raiders that
moved. Yeah, no, it's an Oakland push. Wow.
And it just shows how crap Oakland is.
Well, that's right next to San Francisco.
It's right next to San Francisco.
Yeah.
And it's a dive. Like, it's not a nice place.
It's like the poor cousin of San Francisco, really, isn't
it'd
it?
It'd be like, this is going to upset some people, it'd be like having an NRL team in Blacktown. It's like, can we move the stadium, please?
Yeah. Like, it's called Penrith.
Or Mount
Druitt. Penrith Panthers, it's called.
Yeah, but that's a better area.
Penrith,
Back to the NRL. Crowd-wise, I don't think crowd was the goal, right, though? Really,
no.
The goal was just...
It was eyeballs.
Eyeballs
was
because they want gambling.
Yes, they do. It's all about betting. It's all about betting. They wanted to get on the betting market. And I did laugh. I shared this on Instagram stories. I don't know whether you heard this. I recorded, I was watching NBC News after the Fan Fest, and they go, coming up, the NRL fans come to touchdown in Las Vegas. And I said, oh, I'm going to record this. So I recorded it, and the reporter who was at the Fan Fest, the reporter said,
we have
the team, top teams. We've got the Brisbane Broncos and the Sydney Roosters and the Manly Seagulls and the South Sydney Rabbitohs.
I'm thinking, wow, what a way to butcher the name. I shared it. Did you hear the clip?
I
shared it. And now I'm going to call them the South Sydney Rabbitohs. That's what I'm going to call them from now on. You think someone would have said to him, mate, this is how you say it. Like the announcer at the game, American, right?
Nailed it.
Perfect.
Yeah.
Right? Even all the names, like some of the names of the Seagull players are like Maori names, like, you know, long names.
Complex,
Fijian, like Keon, Kaloa Matangi. He got it right.
Yeah.
All of them, he nailed it. He must have had like a phonetic sort of guy.
Yeah.
Smashed it. It was really good.
Yeah.
And it added to the spectacle having an American announcer rather than Aussie. It would have sounded really lame, I reckon, having an Aussie in the American venue. That really added to it. One other thing they did, they let off some fireworks. You know, it's got a roof. So they let off fireworks in the halftime of the South's Manly game. And for the second half, it was just hazy. You just said there was, I'm thinking, they need an exhaust fan, you know, like in a bathroom. They said, where's the fan? And it just hung there. Yeah, that was sort of, if you were sitting in that top section, you would have been thinking, like, you can't see.
So would you go again?
Yes.
Really?
I would, yeah. Well, next year it's going to be four different teams.
Yeah.
It's going to be not South. It'll be probably Penrith.
Parramatta Bulldogs.
Parramatta
Bulldogs, good rivalry.
No, Parramatta-Penrith, so the Battle of the West.
Oh, yeah.
St George Sharks.
Melbourne, what about Melbourne?
Oh, you'd have to get an interstate team. So you'd probably go Melbourne, Dolphins, two Sydney teams to keep everyone happy because they had a Brisbane team, three Sydney teams.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Because they're doing it for 5 years. Like, committed for 5 years.
Yeah, they have, yeah. And the interesting thing, too, about this, like Souths and Manly and Roosters Brisbane have played their first round game on the weekend. The rest of round one doesn't start till Thursday, right? But in round two, the four teams involved in Vegas are all playing each other. So Souths play Brisbane.
Oh, right.
And Manly play the Roosters. So there's no, you can't say, well, you're playing a team that didn't travel to the US, so it's even.
Oh, okay, that's smart.
Yeah, so it's the teams that travelled will play each other over the first two rounds.
So any acclimatisation, jet lag issues apply to everyone.
They're on the same page.
Right.
Yeah, which that's smart. And I'm going to Brisbane too to watch round two game.
Yeah, I know.
So I'm going to Vegas to watch Souths and Brisbane to watch Souths again. So Las Vegas and Bris Vegas I'm going to watch the Rabbitohs. That's loyalty, baby. But I've got to. Have you rescheduled our golf yet or not?
No.
You haven't? You or not?
I don't know if I can.
Damn it.
Could be an issue.
So are you still playing or not?
I mean, it's booked. So I've got to make a call tomorrow because there's Easter and I've got to know what days it's allowed to be on and whether they'll move it because it's a voucher booking.
Right. So, damn it.
Yeah, sorry, but I've committed to sponsoring another golf day. So.
Oh.
We'll do another one at another course anyway.
Okay. Right.
So, yeah, there'll be something coming up, which will be good.
This was a status trip, mate.
Oh, yeah, I know. Status trip. I'm well aware, yeah.
Double status points.
My status is still in review.
Had to go in. What?
Yeah.
Why?
Well, I reached my anniversary date, so then you go into a review period. Where
have you
they
got
just,
enough?
Well, I don't have those three sectors. The three sectors that I flew.
Right.
Because if I'm telling you right now, if Virgin knocked back my status...
There'll be hell to pay.
There'll be a war path.
Right. And he's going to go public with that too,
I did go a little public with my aggression on Instagram just to...
Hey, ho, what happened?
Oh, I just... When they said that those flights weren't didn't qualify, are you kidding me?
Oh.
I may as well switch to Qantas. This is a G-up.
Jeez, I hope my flights qualify. It's just status, great. It's just status. You get points and status?
Oh,
I just want status.
Oh, okay. Status is fine.
Status points because there's double status points.
I needed legs. Because there's three things to it. For people that don't fly a lot, sorry to be rude, but you need points. You get points.
Yeah.
You get status credits, and there are a certain number of legs you need to complete with that airline.
Oh.
And so in Virgin's case, it's eight legs. You need to fly eight Virgin planes.
Yeah.
And
then Qantas is similar. You've got to fly
Qantas
flights.
And you need 800 status points, right, to retain platinum. I got 2,700 status points. I'm fine. but I only have five of the eight legs because they chose not to fly internationally anymore, so I can't fly on their planes.
No, they've got to make some accommodation for you there, mate.
Yeah, and then I flew four of their flights on my own coin and they didn't qualify because they were the cheap flights. Of course they were the cheap flights. Fucking hell. I was only doing it for the fucking leg.
For the points.
And I spent 200,000 points during those trips on accommodation.
Like
it's not like I'm not an active user of the service.
Mate, of course, yeah.
But I'll tell you this, though, and I have it, I'm pretty angry about it, but then Stig and I flew Etihad for the first time since COVID. We've been flying Qatar for a bit to Europe.
Yep.
And Qatar in Doha is beautiful land.
Right, yeah.
But Abu Dhabi, there's a brand new airport.
Ooh.
It's been there for fucking a decade. Like it's been, you've seen it out the window, but it's never been opened.
Ah.
They never finished it. Anyway, it's open, it's finished, it's bloody gorgeous. So the new lounge there is fucking unbelievable.
Really?
It's like three levels and the first class level is just like
is
it's beautiful. Yeah, because we're Platinum Virgin, we get in there.
Wow.
There's no one there. It's empty.
Were
it's
they
like
fanning you and feeding
basically,
your grapes
it's like,
and
can
stuff?
We get you some more breakfast? Yes, I'll have some more breakfast. But it was like, it's that whole, can I get you more pineapple juice? Yes, thank you.
Yeah,
like,
wow.
Thank
nice.
You. Very good. Just very quiet,
plentiful
lovely.
Plentiful food and drink and service.
Actually, the Abu Dhabi airport, without any frequent flyer, I think it's a great airport because there's a lot of seating.
Right.
There's a food court that's on like a second level. So people aren't up there just chilling. They're up there eating and then they leave. And there's plenty of seating. It's all well spread out. So I could imagine being there without status. But then it was walking into the first class lounge and going, yeah, I need this. I need this Virgin status pretty badly. I'm pretty keen to retain it.
Well, I had the – because I flew to Vegas with United with my United points.
Yeah.
And I'm Premier 1K with United. And
you see, I don't accumulate any United points because there's no need for them.
Because you put them
I put them towards Virgin.
I've got two mistresses here. I've got a Qantas. I'm Qantas Platinum, and I'm on a Premier 1K. And that whole trip was all on points. And I flew business class there and back on points, and I've still got like 200,000 points left.
Yeah.
And I remember when I was flying from. I landed in LA and was on the LA to Vegas short flight, and I was in first class. I was in row two. And the captain came out and came over to me, like everyone's seated. Captain came to me and said, Mr. Fennick. And I took my AirPods out. I said, oh, look, thank you very much for coming, returning. We appreciate your business. We know you fly a lot with us. Really appreciate it. Have a great flight.
That's the sign of a good airline.
The captain. And then the captain turned around and walked away. And everyone else in there is looking at me thinking, who's this fucking bloke? Who the fuck are you, mate?
But see... And this sounds so fucking stuck up. I'm telling you, I get it. What we're saying is stuck up. But so on Etihad, we normally fly to Europe Economy, right?
Right.
But we're Platinum with Virgin.
Yeah.
We could be sitting, we normally book the exit rail or something.
Yeah.
But we could be sitting there, you know, you're just waiting for everyone to board and something. And one of the hosties will come up, like the head steward or whatever, will come and go, Mr. Locke, Mr. Long, thank you for flying with us again. We appreciate your support and pack. Like the same thing, right?
Yeah.
And it's like, it's a good vibe. It's a good feeling.
Absolutely,
Like this flying, this travel thing, it's fucking hard, right?
Yeah.
And so you kind of want a bit out of it. You want to at least feel like you've earned something.
Yeah.
That's all
I want to be appreciated.
For.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, and I like that. I find that whenever I fly Qantas, no matter where I'm sitting on the plane, they'll come to me and say, oh, Mr. Fennick, welcome back on board. Great to have you with us again. Anything we can do for you? You know, in the rare time I'm in economy on an international flight, they might say, would you like us to bring you some champagne or something? I'll say, mate, don't drink.
Yeah.
How about give me a business class seat instead? But no, I haven't travelled economy internationally for quite a while.
It needs to be addressed.
Now, that sounds snobby, what I just said.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It does, but that's okay.
But mate, you know what? I explained this to someone. I said, look, I've travelled business class. And because I've travelled business class, I can't go back to economy. That's going to sound really fucking stuck
does,
up, right? I explained this to my brother. My brother and I, years ago, we were on a voice bite trip, right? And they offered an upgrade to one of us. And I said, look, I'm taking business class because economy is foreign to me. For you, that's what you're used to. So I was cheering up. We end up both getting upgraded. But I said, mate, I don't want to do it anymore because I've experienced business class and I don't want to go back.
So here's the thing.
Yeah. That is snobby. I'm very sorry.
I believe I've gotten to the age and weariness and everything that I no longer want to go to Europe economy. So yeah. Again, I used to do IFA and Barcelona. We would fly economy.
That's a journey.
And what I would do is if we'd had a good time or if things are going okay, I would bid for the upgrade on the way back and maybe spend $5,000 or $6,000 each if it was available, and I'd get the upgrade, right? A few times we flew back business. Very, very cool. Awesome. Yep. So now Stig has worked out these cool things where if you fly to Manila in the Philippines, economy. So we fly economy to Manila. Yeah. And then, so rewind. We've just booked our Berlin flights, right? It was going to be $16,000 each.
This for next year?
For the September this year.
Oh, September, sorry. Yeah.
$16,000 each to fly to Berlin in business class, right?
Right.
We're going to Jakarta economy.
Yeah. Day flight.
On Qantas, right?
Yep.
7-hour, 8-hour flight.
Yeah.
And then we're flying business class Qatar Airways to Berlin. And the total cost for both of us is $11,000.
Wow. So you save $5,000.
No, no.
Each.
$25,000.
Oh, wow.
It's $11,000 for both of us.
Shit.
Yes.
How good's that?
And so flying to Spain, we went to Manila economy and then Etihad business, and it was fucking $10,000 for both of us.
How good's that?
Like you put up with a bit of economy and you get the upside in the long run. I think it's a better way to go.
With CES, what I do is I book Qantas premium economy and just bid for the upgrade.
Yeah.
And I get it 99 times out of 100, I get it.
Yeah, yeah.
So rather than paying $25,000 for a business class return to Vegas via San Fran or LA, I book premium economy all the way and then just go and bid for the upgrade and cost me like 40,000 or 60,000 points.
I mean, America is tough. It's CS is the only time of year I fly economy to America because there's five of us.
Yeah,
and I can't afford for all of us to be premium, exactly, let alone anything else. Yeah. And that's just a punish. But that's why we spend an extra day on the ground at both ends just to chill and be into it. But it was just funny because when I was coming back from Europe this time, I was coming back from Manila. I landed in Manila and then we got on the plane. It was an overnight flight, right?
Yeah. So Manila.
Leave Manila at 7 p.m., fly in, land at like 6 a.m., right?
Yep.
So it was an overnight flight. Yep. I sit down. I'm in economy. It's cool. I've got no dramas. Infotainment screens are all broken. There's nothing working, okay? And I didn't download anything new.
Oh, no.
And I didn't care because I thought I was going to sleep, right?
Yeah.
Sitting next to a 200-year-old lady who's, you know, frail and like definitely not going to be someone I'm going to walk over.
Yeah.
Like, so it's going to be if she gets up, I'll get up. Like, it's one of those situations where if they get up, I'm going to get up and either fuck around with my bag or go for a piss or whatever, but I'm not getting up otherwise. And I sleep for 2 hours.
Yeah.
And then I'm fucking awake. You know, there's no chance I'm going back to sleep, right?
Yeah.
Bloke behind front of me, poof, seat all the way down, reclined.
Oh.
So and that's fine. I've got no drama with that. But I'm now like this. I'm stuck.
Middle seat?
No, window seat. It's 2-4-2, so it's only two of us on the side, but I'm window.
But the old lady's next to you.
200-year-old lady is there. There's no way I'm getting out unless she gets up. She does not get up.
Yeah.
Anyway, so I'm okay with that. I'm cool. How do you do that?
I've got to get up and take a piss fucking 8 times on a flight.
Nah, I can get
through. How do you do that?
I can do 15
You're
hours no flight.
You're a camel.
No dramas.
What the fuck, hell?
Yeah. Piss a lot before you go.
Yeah, good. But what about when you're on board, you're eating and drinking and stuff?
I don't eat and drink on board.
So you just have no meal?
Nope.
Zero.
Zero.
Go to bed.
Yep.
Really?
Yep.
Okay.
If I'm in business class, I'll do whatever I can because I can get and have a piece whenever I want.
Yeah, okay.
But in economy, I'm a camel.
You adapt.
So anyway, this is where, and if Qantas is watching, thank you for receiving my email for a status match. Fuck, I doubt they'll do it, but I've asked. Also, can you ignore the next 5 minutes because fuck Qantas. So I'm on this plane. It's the middle of the night over, I don't know, fucking the Northern Territory. Yeah. I don't know where.
Yeah.
On a Virgin Australia flight at nighttime, it's all purple. And then they go, someone gets the dial and goes, and it just goes light dark. It's lovely, right?
Yeah.
Someone on this flight, the fucking lights are on. They've served dinner and stuff. And then someone goes, and the poof, it's just dark. I'm like, holy shit, rightio.
No transition.
I'm fine with that, whatever. So then I'm sitting there, and mate, I'm awake. I can't sleep again, right?
Yeah.
So I'm just looking out the window. It's fucking beautiful. Like, I'm telling you, it was because I didn't have an iPad.
Stargazing.
I had my headphones in listening to the music. I was just deep in thought. I loved it. It was beautiful.
Okay.
Then this woman comes down. She's pulling people's blinds down because they're asleep. 20 minutes later, this male steward comes up, and he comes up to me. And I'm like, what the fuck, mate? What? Yeah. I've pulled it. What? What, mate? He's gone, can you pull your blind down? I've gone, what the fuck? He's gone, no. Can you pull your blind down? I go, why?
Yeah.
I said, I'm looking out there. He goes, please pull your blind down. I went, oh, fuck, like that.
You did?
And then he walked away.
Fuck that.
And he walked away and I went, fuck that.
Yeah.
Now, the reason you pull the blind down is because you're flying against the earth and shit and the sun comes up in the middle of the night on the plane, yeah, right? Yeah. I'm looking at
not,
it going.
Not at that moment, though.
Yeah, no, but yeah. I'm looking at the plane going, even if I fall asleep, we're landing at Sydney at 6 a.m.
Yeah.
They're going to turn on the fucking lights and do breakfast service when it's... So yeah, I looked out the window. The whole flight, it never got bright.
Yeah.
This dickhead wanted me to put the fucking blind
so
down.
So this was the flight from where, Manila to Sydney.
Sydney. QF41 on the 28th or 29th.
You know who you are.
Honestly, mate, you really pissed me off.
Oh.
That sort of thing...
And you did it. I would have said, fuck off. I'm going to look out the window.
I didn't want to listen to him. It was annoying. Right. And I felt sorry for the 200-year-old lady he was leaning over.
Was she asleep too, or was she doing
yeah,
this
she
whole
was
time?
Dying. You went striking. I think she was alive. Yeah, she got up at the end.
You think she was alive? Fucking hell! So you didn't strike up a conversation with her?
No, mate.
You're not a talker on a plane, are you? You're not a talker.
I'm headphones in straight away.
Yeah, I'm the same most of the time. But if there's someone there that
not
you want,
Patrick Delaney.
Well, I said, mate, it's funny because he got on, and
he rolled his eyes.
No, because I was sitting on the window, and there was a sun shining in the window. It was like 4:30 in the afternoon. And he went, g'day, and he sat down, he didn't recognise me.
Yeah.
And I turned around and go, g'day, mate, how you going? How did you enjoy? And he went, oh, he goes, oh, it's you. Hello, mate. He goes, oh, sorry, mate, the sun was shining, I didn't know who you were. I said, oh, yeah, are you sure? Or are you just fucking ignoring me, mate? I said, come on.
You should have said, I'm not fucking Trevor Long, you mate.
You weren't mentioned in our conversation, yeah. I said, I'll tell you, I'll bring him into line, mate, for you.
Steam come out of his ears?
No, he was all right. He just said, honestly, what happened? He goes, he wanted to buy a cup of coffee and explain what the differences were with other platforms and stuff. But, he did, though, in front of me, subscribe to Two Blokes Talking Electric Cars. He subscribed to that podcast. Why?
What's wrong? I've got these visions of him.
He subscribed to our electric vehicle podcast.
Yeah, I understand. Yeah, yep,
great good. Podcast.
Wonderful.
And I think he's already a Two Blokes Talking Tech subscriber.
You think?
No doubt.
Strikes me as more of a Matty Johns podcast subscriber, but anyway.
Yeah, but it was a good chat with him. It was good. We were talking about, and he was telling me a lot about, the what they had to do for the game and their KO's 4K and they've turned Hubble on and this and that. And, mate, he had a lot to do. He told me a story about how, he might not want me to share this, but he turned up at an airport to fly to the US and didn't have an ESTA filled out. And they did it for him. Qantas did it for him. You're bagging him. He said, mate, Qantas are amazing.
Yeah, I'm sure he's in the fucking chairman's club.
Yeah, they filled out an ESTA for him, and 25 minutes later he was ready to go. So he was full of praise for Qantas.
Oh, I'm sure he was.
Because he flew back, United to LA, and then he was Steve Crawley, the boss of Softbox Sports. I saw who's the guy who's the floor manager for the footy, used to play for Parramatta. What's his name?
I know who you're talking about, yeah.
Yeah, oh, shit, I forget his name. I saw him. Saw Manly. The coach, Anthony Seibold, was on our Vegas to LA flight. Daly Cherry Evans was on that flight as well. They were in economy. They walked past us. They were in economy. But Patrick and Steve Crawley were in business up front. Well, first class, they call it. And it was good. We were chatting away. And then they went to Qantas.
I'd be very, very positive about Qantas if you invite me to the chairman's club.
So they had to go to Tom Bradley to get the Qantas flight, but because I was United, I was in Terminal 7. I had to stay. I had 4.5 hours in Terminal 7, straight up to the Polaris Lounge, which is the equivalent of Qantas First Class Lounge.
Mm.
So sat down, had a meal, and did a bit of work, cut up a lot of the audio for our movie podcast, and it was good.
Yeah, nice. Yeah.
And then, yeah.
Well, I'd like you to get out of here so I can upload the show, edit the show, and try and watch The Old Man.
Great recommendation. Was that on
I'm
the private
four
last
in,
week?
What is it, seven?
Seven, yeah.
Oh, so
and that's
longer.
Season one.
Is it good?
Very good, but you're going to be thinking, oh, I want to see season two.
I fucking hate that.
Season two. No, season two on Disney Plus. Coming later in 2024 because it was affected by the writer's strike. Season two, definitely coming because this isn't spoiling for it. It's fucking open-ended at the end. You're thinking, and then... fade to black.
Oh, now I feel like I should wait until season two.
No, watch it. You've got to watch it. I don't know whether you've sort of, we'll discuss off air whether you've seen the the little twists and turns in this series, but I will discuss that off air with you. Before, I don't want to spoil.
Well, I'm aware
it
of the daughter and her relationship to the.
There you go.
That's obvious. So there, there season episode two.
Okay, good.
Yeah.
Okay, good. We just spoil it for everyone else. That's great.
No, I think I don't think that's
spoiled. It does play. It's good. Plays out.
Good
well.
Movie. The good TV good show. The Old Man.
The Old Man. Recommended by.
The Old Man. Hey, folks, go and watch The Old Man on Disney+. Recommended by The Old Man.
Yeah, good on you.
See you, mate.
Take care.